Hello, we're here.
We are indeed. I have made some notes. Let's see what my notes say.
Great.
This seems to be Megan Elizabeth Morris and Johanna Oettingham recording for Intuitive Actual. Here is a helpful vibration. Watchers and listeners can learn more about Intuitive Actual by visiting www.intuitivepublicradio.network and subscribing there on Substack, and by visiting t.me/intuitiveactual on Telegram Messenger. I have two games in my notes. The first one is, when we have extremely limited capacity, how do we organize our individual and collaborative efforts to prioritize highest leverage community engagement and regenerative abundance flowing activities? The second one is, how fast can either of us find something we want to read out loud on the radio? These are two games that can be played. Do you find yourself with an inclination?
Oh, I like both of them. I'm not sure how fast I'll be right now. I'm in a slow part of my day, but I bet we could find some things that we want to read pretty easily. And yeah, I mean, the first one is seems like a complicated query, but it's not. It's what we do all the time. I like both of them.
They're sort of the same subject. There are certainly more that we could add. So, in my experience of prioritizing the highest leverage possible expenditures of my energy, one of the things for me to do is be really mindful about how long we're recording for and how long I'm exposing my body to the EMFs from the digital devices, from the computer, from anything. And it's ambient, it's in the house, it's around the house, it's everywhere. So I can at least control my exposure to individual devices to a certain extent. The intuitive public infrastructure is there so that the most severely affected people who usually don't get to have media privilege can have bridges being built to their media privilege, their ability to speak as a greater collective, their ability to build income generating platforms. Usually, if you pass a certain threshold of hardship, all of a sudden you don't have access to any of these things that would allow you to organize information or share with others or communicate or draw income for sharing your strengths, for using your skills on behalf of other people. When we build these bridges to restore media access and creative tool sets access for people who have experienced disability, houselessness, poverty, extremity, violence, compound illness, long-term injuries, things that are very difficult to recover from. The anybody who hears this conversation is going to be aware of people around or in their environments that are suffering in these ways. And a lot of people don't know what to do about it. What we do about it is we make it increasingly possible for those people's voices to be heard. Because if we don't hear those people's voices, then we're not operating in a way that will give us accurate information about the state of the collective body. So that gives me something I can read, actually. Shall I find it?
Yes, please.
I think I can do so quickly. Thank you so much for making this time. It's
You
been
too.
so tricky.
It really has. It's a huge deal to show up here.
I know how to
And
live.
then we really need to use the time well, because it costs us a lot.
It does. And that's something that is true for anybody who's using electronic equipment, whether or not it's hit them. Lots of people feel like they have no problem with it, but they might feel exhaustion or stress in parts of their life. They don't even realize they're being affected by the radiation in the technology until it pushes them past that threshold. And they're like, oh, wow, this is really hurting me. And then they try to tell people and people don't believe them.
Yeah, I think that's happening a lot. And there's
I want to let you finish. Go ahead.
There's kinds of, you know, fatigue, distress, difficulties the body might be experiencing that people normalize and end up bypassing or dissociating from until it's bad enough that they, you know, lose access to some part of their life because of it, or other compounded factors with it. But yeah, I mean, I think anybody who's, you know, gotten lost scrolling or gaming knows what the sort of basic kind of fatigue that happens to the brain and the body. I think the evidence is out there of how expensive it is on our nervous systems and so on.
Expensive in so many ways too. It's a, I mean, for my professional communities that I've been involved with over the years, it's a cost of doing business, but it's not just the monetary financial cost of doing business. It's also the cost to our bodies. It's a cost to our relationships. And if we're operating in a context where we're not going to be able to understand or recognize or respond to people who come to harm in our environment, that is doing ourselves a tremendous disservice. That's a pretty alarming thing for the people who have recognized it, but it took me a long time to recognize it. I didn't recognize it before. Mm-hmm. I had to get to that place.
Yeah, I think part of the dynamics of it is that some people have the privilege not only to organize themselves to take breaks or go outside or do some way that sort of, you know, is mitigating the harm. And then there's a whole bunch of people who don't have that privilege either to organize or access going outside or whatever it takes, you know, to have lots of time. And they don't have to be on all the time during their workday, which some people are, like on a device, on video chat, like most of their day. So having the privilege to not work all day and have lots of spaces, like the body calms down, relaxes. I mean, the other thing about using the internet and video chatting all the time is that you might even forget how it's affecting you. Even as you're more tired or your brain doesn't work as well. And yeah, things sort of get normalized. And then people are naming it maybe as something else, you know?
Of course.
Another obfuscation.
My dad and I were talking this morning about masking. I was telling him about when I discovered the whole idea of masking, where the body is experiencing damage and difficulty, but for whatever reason, the body has to still do that thing. It just has to. There's some reason the body has to do that thing. So it's a really wonderful support that the body provides to itself. It masks the damage that's occurring. It masks the discomfort, the pain, the agony, it can get really intense, and it can still stress. Yes. And it can still be really profound on the body. But if the person is not aware of that masking, then other influences saying, oh, you have this going on, people might just believe that and not be in tune enough with their bodies to know the difference. And they don't realize they're masking at all. So why would they even look for it? Mm-hmm. But when I found out like about masking, that changed everything for me.
Right. Like, we don't even see it until we have a moment of self-reflection of like, wait a second, what did I just present myself differently than my actual experience? Because that kind of thing is really normalized, right? Like, we're not sharing everything with all the people around us. And so it seems kind of normal at first until it gets to an extreme. Yeah.
I agree.
It's happening a lot.
This is so important. And so everything that we're talking about here, this is wonderful. We're demonstrating the purposed and directed format that we've been striving toward that I need so crucially. I'm really grateful. I'm so grateful. Thank you for helping me with this.
We somehow got here, and it's not just somehow. I mean, you know, we used all our tools that show up.
We're using the tools.
Yeah.
We're using the skill sets that we're developing. We're demonstrating it all the time. It's really amazing. Everything that we've talked about in this session so far, 16 or so minutes, all of that is part of what makes people invisible to their communities, even invisible to their families. And
yeah.
when that happens, this is a perfect lead-in to intuitive economic. And I will read from this document that I remembered existed because of our purposed directed conversation. And you know, we're sort of watching the time, and we're gonna keep this about 30 minutes. And then after our 30 minutes, we're gonna really focus on what does the body need? Maybe being away from the internet radiation.
Yeah.
This is a great plan. So intuitive economic is this document that I have here. Actually, Johanna is on Telegram Messenger. I'm going to send Johanna this document so that she can look at it if she wants. Oops, those are my other notes. Where's the document link? Here we go. There it is. So that's in your Telegram, so you can look at it directly if you want to. So I will read from this document. Let's see here.
I'm going to get my tea while you read.
Brilliant. So what we have are the main introductory points of intuitive economic. And this is a preliminary draft, but it contains a lot of points that are really crucial to understand if you or people that you care about may be in the process of being invisibilized to your community or even to your family. So how many points are there here? Three. There are three, and there's a lot of detail in the third one. So I'll read through them. Number one is, the more constituents who are missing from the collective body, the more challenging it is for the collective body and its individual members to succeed individually and as a community. So an example of this is, how well can you walk without one leg? How well can you evaluate the safety of your environment without your ears, eyes, or nose? Also this morning, I was looking at a book by Arnold Mindell called Working on Yourself Alone. And I'm going to have to pull some quotes from that book because I've read deeper into it in previous years, but I hadn't looked at it in a really long time. And I was listening through the first chapter and the second chapter, and I remembered how magical and nutritive and strengthening that it was for me to discover his work originally, because he describes a lot of this stuff very clearly. His previous work was as a physicist, and then he went to study with Marie von Franz, who had studied with Jung. He studied Arnie studied in, I think it's Switzerland, if I'm remembering that and saying it right. And Arnold Mindell developed process-oriented psychology to welcome in all the different experiences we're having. And it's not just the different experiences that one person has in one individual body. It's also the experiences that all of us are having with and as the collective body. So, you know, in my body, if I dissociate from my whole arm and I don't care what happens to it, I'm not going to have an arm anymore. It will rot off. I mean, yeah, I think I'm making this is an analogy, people. I don't know how it will rot off, but I need to care about my arm. I want it attached to my body. I want it healthy. Good job. all the parts of my body. In a community, if we let parts of the community rot off and we just shrug it off and we dissociate from it, we can't think about it, it's too scary to talk about, we will not have those parts of the community body anymore. And that has real ramifications. So that's just the first point. Should I pause for dialogue, or should I continue to the subsequent points? What do you think?
I think we should read the next one. I definitely, I'm really lit up by this particular like way of describing things and using these analogies, and I really love it. But yes, read the next one because they'll build.
Okay, thank you. Number two. The more constituents who are missing from invisibly deteriorating, experiencing compounding burdens in and to the collective body, the more difficult it is for individuals and groups, including families, to thrive economically. So an example of this is when we're all interconnected as part of the economy, compounding disaster and destruction that is not recognized and appropriately addressed by the collective body becomes a concentrated burden upon those in its vicinity, especially those who are already invisible, disabled, multiply marginalized, survivors of personal and or multi-generational trauma, and or severely affected. So when we allow people to go missing from the body, when we dissociate from the fact that our arm is being destroyed and maybe rotting off, then the damage occurring gets much worse in concentrated forms in that location. So it goes faster than you'd even expect because those parts aren't being tended as part of the collective body. Do you have thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, we see this all the time, and people are maybe talking about there being a caregiver crisis, for example. So let's say somebody is basically in that position of being the arm that's getting cut off. For whatever reason, they're being abandoned, their resourcing is not prioritized. People are like, well, that just needs to happen, that we don't have that arm anymore. Or for whatever reason, maybe some people are even fighting against it. But, you know, if they're So those who are caring for that limb, that the whole body should be trying to stop it from decaying and falling off, they start to become disabled too. And they start to be cut off from their communities. So you have these like little insular pods of people trying to stop at least one of their members from dying. And they're pushing against the inertia of society saying, oh, well, let's just let that limb fall off. And it compounds for that whole family or that whole location. And then we can see this at population scale, too, that when resources are extracted or removed or people are cut off from populations, whether it's a village, a neighborhood, a city, a bioregion that becomes toxified in some way, that there's cascading disasters that happen. So that's sort of a side topic. But yeah, like, so these things compound. So this is part of the reason why it's like, we can't, like, the argument that like, oh, some people just aren't going to make it, like, isn't really relevant, isn't really appropriate, even though it might seem practical and people from the abstract are like, oh, that just happens, you know? These things are difficult. People sort of bypass it or make excuses for why it's okay for some people to be left to die.
And
what that's costing us is the whole topic of this. So yeah.
Yes. Any level of dissociation that is part of that. And sometimes people do have to make decisions about where to put their energy. Absolutely. Yeah. But if there's a level of dissociation involved in wanting to say, well, there's nothing we can do, what happens is the rest of the collective body is not getting any accurate information from the parts of the body that are being destroyed, which means that the rest of the body stands the risk of being destroyed in the same ways, because the body is acculturating itself or being acculturated to be dissociated from those kinds of damages. So it's, when, you know, people talk about zombification, We're talking about a kind of zombification of individual bodies and of collective bodies where people are losing their survival reflexes. They don't have natural survival responses because they've been taught that they can get away with allowing the destruction of certain parts of the collective body when that's not actually true.
I want to comment.
I want to
so
give you
this
a
is
comment.
really
Yeah.
a critical thing around power and where things are normalized. So there might be people with good intentions or whatever intention, or they're in pain, who use their power to normalize and justify what's happening. And because they're loud or they're privileged, and they're coming with some authoritative energy, they direct people away from the sufferer, from the family that is under-resourced. And they may actually do this really like sort of disgusting moral thing, maybe without even realizing it, being like, stay away from that person. So like, we're just trying to like talk a little bit more about what actually happens. Like anyone who has experienced being shut down or canceled or anything like that knows how horrible it is. But we're looking, you know, politically and metaphysically at what happens when, so like, it's kind of like the mob mentality thing. Like our bodies are really wired to mirror with each other. So if somebody with strong energy comes in and says, oh, shut that person down, or they should be abandoned, or they should be exiled, or there's nothing we can do, like that, it's really problematic because other people follow that idea. And then of course, if you're experiencing someone saying that about you, what happens internally is really, really fucked up.
It's really,
and it
really
may compound
hardcore.
What's happening and your ability to fight against it, or try to disrupt it. So I just want to like give kudos to anybody out there who ever has or ever will disrupt that kind of energy, that people are shutting each other down or justifying abandonment, war, and exile, and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because we can disrupt that and do something else. And if you hear somebody talking about how that, I mean, there's real reasons people may be afraid, or they may feel like it's a practical survival thing and so on. But it's like we're showing, it's not good logic overall to do that.
It's not
like we're
survival
really,
acumen. There's no survival
yeah.
acumen in dissociating from the situation that must be wisely
it's,
survived.
It's not a solution to the problems, even the problems of scarcity, to abandon our community members. Yeah. So is there a next point on your...
There's this point three, but I just like, I want to take a moment. I want to say, Johanna Botanica, I really love your commentary.
Thank you so much. I really like getting to be here and use my voice. It's quite challenging for me to show up and do this. So I'm super grateful for all the tool sets and the network, and, you know, myself too, like being like, oh, I still want to do this.
I feel
And
very fortunate that we're managing what we're managing.
It's a tender thing. Like sometimes what's happening for me psychologically and otherwise is like, why bother? But I do carry medicine, like any of us might have medicine for our people. And that's, it matters to me, for a lot of reasons, some very selfish, about what happens for me when I get to express myself and how much I feel connected and stable, which is a contrast to what's happening a lot of time.
Well, a lot of what you're mentioning and a lot of that is reflected in my personal experience also, and what you were talking about just a minute ago is basically how that dissociation from parts of the body that are being destroyed, that are taking damage, that is not being incorporated into the awareness of the collective body. The message to the individuals who are affected that way and who recognize it is, you should not be alive. It is burdensome for you to provide accurate information about the circumstances in that part of the collective body. The collective body does not want the messages from that part of the collective body. The collective body does not include that part of the collective body as part of the collective body. That, I think the word mind fuck is really appropriate.
Yeah.
For that, and if we're talking about suicide, and we have this amazing interview with Rob Wypond that we want to publish as soon as that can be possible, we're talking about so many people experiencing suicidality and like, what is this issue? Like, what is going on? We have communities everywhere sending the message to the most vulnerable people. We don't actually care if you recover. It's up to you. And we're going to take advantage of these community resources, but we're going to turn a blind eye to the fact that you can't reach any of those community resources because you're not really part of our community. But part of the messaging that goes along with that is that nobody is really part of any community. If something really awful happens to you, you may find that the community you thought you were part of, even the family you thought you were part of, does not consider you included in the community or in the family. That is happening in such a widespread way.
I have experienced this. I'm just thinking about all the people. I'm just raising my hand for all of the people I know who are like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Why? Da da da. And like the inertia. Whatever way people are describing how the world's falling apart or society's ills, or, you know, there's lots of different frames for how people are describing all the chaos and uncertainty and volatility going on in the world right now. But no matter how you talk about that, like there's a lot of inertia, and habits and all of these things. And so, I mean, it's part of what's interesting about being in the position that I'm in is that my eyes see differently and see different things necessarily in order to survive. To make it this far, I've had to learn to see things. So that's how we're able to even be in touch with this concept, is that we've been pushed to a place where we had to see it. So yeah, it's a big deal to disrupt that inertia in any way. And guess what? We're doing it every day by staying alive. And by creating resourcing and just doing the opposite of what that kind of mindless death machine inertia is doing in the world. Yeah. And like we all can, but we may not realize it, right? There's really a lot of inertia that says, oh, that person's too intense. I have to abandon them. That's just normal.
Yeah, and it's something that people are doing in their own states of confusion and, yes, disablement. Even where somebody doesn't consider themselves disabled, people have been acculturated to dissociate from the whole idea of disability. It took me years to be able to recognize myself as disabled. I couldn't figure out what was happening.
Me too. And I still am dealing with the mind fuck all the time because I keep trying to signal people in positions who are supposed to care for disabled people about it and striking out. I'm just like, wait, what is happening? That's not even talking about like the brain trauma and traumatic stuff that happens because of that ongoing gaslighting mindfuck stuff. Yeah. So it compounds our illnesses and pain and all kinds of things. Cause we're like, hey, can I have a resource that I supposedly am eligible for?
Yeah, we thought,
and you're like, oh yeah, these.
Well, I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say, oh yeah, you can have it under these horrible, torturous conditions, or something like that, right?
Exactly.
So that's where people aren't realizing that the bridges to actually access the resources people think are there, and a lot of times people think there's a resource there that isn't, also because they obviously don't take responsibility as a neighborhood. Why would, it's just weird. It's weird. Other cultures maybe don't think the same way about that or quite as automatically.
It's a bit different in other places. I keep
hope that's still true.
It is still true in certain ways, but there is there are influences that are continuing to gain strides as long as communities aren't able to recognize their own community bodies. So I'll pause here for a moment and consider, since I mean we're at the 35 minute mark, this third item has a bunch of extra details in it. This has happened a bunch of times where, you know, we have a really good flow of dialogue, and then we don't necessarily want to get off the line. I don't know. How does your body feel right now about getting off the line?
I mean, it's like, it's exciting once the energy starts moving. I think like part of me is like, oh, it would be a good practice to honor our 30 minute ish container. So I think that that's a good way to go. But I also think to talk about the last point, the third point, and then make a plan for where to go next, I think would be a wise thing to do too. We're going to pause after we talked about the points anyway and be like, what do our bodies need?
Well, yeah. And then sometimes the points take longer than we expect, but the more we do this, the better we will become at it, is what I think. So how about I will create sort of some teaser information. I will say a little bit of what number three is, and then that can be our next 30 minute or so segment that we'll record.
That sounds great. We'll make it a next episode. Good idea or segment. Yeah.
Is excellent organizing, excellent organizational skills, intuitive, actual. So let's see, what do we have here on number three? Number three says, when we ensure all constituents are included and able to participate in collective goals and community activities, .. Like that's exciting. Ooh. All on its own. There are let's see, there are three segments of this with more details. So I'm gonna give you a brief overview and then we'll leave that there and we'll go deeper into it in our next
sounds great
sensing session. There are many more people available to collaborate towards success. There are many more voices to express the most helpful solutions to implement together, with many more lived experiences to provide useful information about what solutions to implement and how. And there is a much stronger scientific approach to identifying next steps and evaluating the success of outcomes. Those are the three points that we have in our preliminary draft. I wonder what else is contained in them.
Ooh, I'm very excited to spend more time with that.
I am so grateful to have recorded this recording with you today.
Me too.
Thank you for your help in making this even possible to happen. We've been baby stepping, micro stepping, increment by increment. So that's what we're going to
do. Yeah, I'm at about an average of maybe 1 in 4 or 5 times that I attempt to show up for our Zoom calls that I actually make it right now. So I hope those numbers get better, but like, that's also like, here's the reality.
I don't know what my ratio is. I don't know what my ratio is right now, but it's just, yeah, I might hover around where your ratio is. Sure. Do you have any reflections you want to offer before I wrap us up?
I'm grateful to just have a next opportunity to shift things internally, externally, and collectively, and that my voice can be a part of that. And you know, we're leaning on each other, we're standing on the shoulders of those who came before, and there's a lot being held and provided that we may not see or be aware of, but we can tune in to, you know, we can start to dismantle all those dissociative patterns and show up in a different way and step into a different kind of story together, which is one way to frame the work that we're doing. So yeah. I'm glad to be in it. Thank you.
Good story writing. Good job, writers.
Yes.
So everyone tuning in for this video recording today can find us at www.intuitivepublicradio.network on Substack. Please subscribe. You can find Intuitive Actual on Telegram Messenger, where we are putting our notes there, t.me/intuitiveactual. You can find Johanna Botanica on Telegram Messenger at t.me/sanctuarypeople for sure. Is there anywhere else you want to mention while we're at it?
I think that's a great place to start. I have lots of other channels on, but I think that's a really, really good place to start. And yeah, inviting people to come and take a look and hopefully join the conversation and participate.
Yes, and everybody also definitely find us at t.me/communityIPR, where anyone can come and introduce themselves and be part of our dialogues together. Thank you, everyone, for this wonderful experience today. Very appreciated.
See you.